What's up, y'all? Welcome back to AI Roundup, your weekly digest of AI-related stories to keep you up to date with this rapidly advancing technology. This week, we're going to be talking about AI roasting me, plugins for ChatGPT, the first ethical AI model, we'll see, and if chatbots can understand humor and memes. All right, what's up, y'all? I'm Phil Buck, and I'm here for your week's episode of AI Roundup. Sorry, my voice sounds a little bit froggy. As of the date that I'm recording this, it's my birthday, and had a little bit of fun over the weekend, maybe too much fun, and started to lose my voice. Thankfully, it's mostly on the mend, so I didn't have to hire an AI to do this episode for me. But since it is my birthday, I did think it would be fun to recruit an AI to do a little bit of roasting of me. There's a new AI out called roastedby.ai. If you haven't tried it yet, I recommend go stop by the site and see, you know, if it could roast you. And it took a couple of tries to get started. For some reason, it said, you know, happy birthday. But then I said, let's do this. And it says, all right. Happy birthday to the biggest crybaby I know. Your cake better be big enough to fit all those candles, or else you'll have to settle for one wish to finally grow up. That one kind of cuts deep, you know. I'm not gonna lie, I'm a sensitive guy. The rest were pretty much just making fun of me for being old, which doesn't really hurt that bad. Yeah, I think it's funny that they are trying to train a model to roast people. I think humor is probably one of the hardest things that these chatbots are gonna be up against, but I come from Memphis, Tennessee, and we often refer to roasting with the term checking. And it's something very important to me growing up. It was a way that my friends and I related to each other. We would check each other constantly. We have a little bit different style. You know, typically it's something like an insult followed by looking ass or having ass and those kind of things. So I had to check this out. I mean, it was a fun little novel thing to do, but not really impressed quite yet. So we'll see if it evolves. And speaking of evolving, in our actual impact story, we're going to talk about plugins for ChatGPT. All right, it's kind of hard to call anything a huge announcement anymore, as it seems like we keep having huge announcements every day, at least once a week. But following the announcement for GPT-4, OpenAI has now announced that ChatGPT will be able to soon use plugins. If you check out the site, you can see a lot of examples of what you're going to be able to do. It hasn't rolled out to anybody yet, but there is some really exciting prospects here. I mean, things like Expedia, Instacart, OpenTable, and Wolfram Alpha, which I did not know anything about that until I started to investigate this more, but apparently that is a very popular, super powerful platform that is going to be able to let ChatGPT have access to actual computational and math abilities. So, you know, that's one of the biggest drawbacks about GPT is that it's a language model, but it doesn't actually really understand math or do any computation. But with this plugin, now you're going to be able to ask it to do actual computations. Not only that, it sounds like you'll be able to ask it to order your groceries, book you a flight, maybe even find you a restaurant that suits your taste and book you a table. There's also a feature called browsing, so you can have the model actually go search the web for you and find more recent up-to-date information. One of the most exciting ones is called Code Interpreter. It allows you to use Python as well as upload and receive downloads from GPT. Some of the examples of what I've seen people doing with this are amazing. I mean, editing video, creating animated GIFs. I don't really think it can be understated how exciting the possibilities are with just this Code Interpreter. Go look up some of the things that people have been doing beyond just the examples I gave you, and you'll probably have your mind blown. And there's also a feature called retrieval, where you're gonna be able to upload your own data. So this is wild to me because it seems like there's gonna be so much more things that this is gonna be able to do, because right now this hasn't even actually come out. And I can't imagine all the other people that are probably already working on this. Amazon, Walmart, Target. I mean, the possibilities seem endless. If you're a ChatGPT user, let me know if you get access to this. I'd love to hear what some people are doing. Not only that, if you are developing stuff for ChatGPT, I'd love to hear about what your ideas for plugins are. It does seem that there's going to be a whole marketplace of plugins that are going to be coming out to be used with ChatGPT, and I'm just really excited to see what those are going to be. I mean, what are we going to be looking at a year from now when we look back at this episode and we just reference the announcement of this? I can't imagine how different it will be a year from now. So maybe hop into our Discord and let us know what you think about this, or if you've been playing with it. I'd love to hear about it. Well, next up, let's zoom out a little bit for our big picture story. Adobe has announced their AI platform, Firefly. All right, so this is interesting. If you want to know more about what the new platform from Adobe Firefly is capable of, I'm going to ask you just go check out the Friday episode of MSP Dispatch. I actually covered all the features and capabilities of what Adobe Firefly can do. It's pretty exciting because it's the first mainstream company that we've seen rolling out this technology to generate AI art and AI images. The reason I'm glossing over the features is because the thing that's most interesting about this to me is that they claim that their model is the first ethically trained model. And I think if you go visit the Adobe Twitter, you'll see that not everybody necessarily agrees with them. And this just goes back to the point I have to make over and over again, which is that this conversation needs a lot more nuance than most people are willing to give it. AI is out there, it's not going away. And we have to figure out how to implement it in our lives. And we have to remember it's a tool for humans. And that being said, this tool looks pretty exciting and pretty easy to use. And it takes some of the ethical questions out of the situation, at least I thought. This model has been trained on Adobe stock images. And if you look a little further into their terms of service, there is fine print on the terms of service that if you submit stuff to Adobe Stock that they can use it to develop, you know, future product. I think the legal gray area may be just that people are unhappy to find out that when they agreed to this, it later down the line meant that, oh, they are training an AI model on my work. The reason I wanted to talk about this story on AI Roundup today is, you know, like I said, I didn't really want to get into all the features of it. I wanted to talk about what this means for the art community, for creators. Adobe came out really strong with their messaging that saying, you know, that they are creators too, that this tool is for creators. And again, looking through the responses on the announcement on Adobe's Twitter page, lots of people are still big mad, as we've said on this show before. Basically, the argument didn't seem so strong on the ethical side of it this time. There was definitely objections, people saying that they felt like they didn't have the consent, or maybe that they didn't have the foreknowledge that their work would be used this way. And I saw most of those arguments felt hypothetical. I didn't actually see anybody specifically noting that their work had been used and they didn't want it to. It should be noted that Adobe also has a compensation plan in the works, and that this whole program is just a beta. So a lot of the stuff that's happening now, it's in its infancy. Speaking of the features of the platform, I did get access to the beta over the weekend. Let's just make a point. I tried this exercise with Adobe Firefly and Midjourney and Stable Diffusion just to kind of compare the results. I asked it to generate a few different images. First was a beautiful woman lounging by the pool in Palm Springs. And as you can see, Firefly definitely gave us an image, but the hands, the feet, the faces, even there's definitely some weird stuff. At this stage, I think it is interesting to see that the model does a pretty good job of making that 16:9 ratio, which if you look at the Stable Diffusion, this is terrifying. And I will note that there was no actual nudity in this image. It was just kind of a weird pile of a body, but I censored it just to be safe. I don't want to play around on YouTube and get in any trouble. And then Midjourney, obviously, seems to be the reigning champion, at least in the court of public opinion. And I would say that it definitely came out ahead in all of these images. It did a great job with the hands and the faces. I also did a few other ones. We got a silly little dog in a silly little hat. And again, Stable Diffusion, not doing so hot compared to Firefly. And then again, Midjourney is still looking great. I think that the image quality in the version 5 of what they're doing are amazing. And the last one before we'll wrap it up is a birthday cake for a robot. And that was just, I'm just keeping it on theme. It's my birthday, whatever. But again, I think the point that I'm trying to illustrate is this, if you look at these images, it's fun to play with. I mean, for this show, it's something I can share with you all because of the novelty of it, right? But I don't see what you would do with any of those images in a commercial way, in a creative way. I think that the AI is really just not there yet. So to go back to the top of the story, I think instead of getting all up in arms and getting big mad about this stuff, you know, the point of this show is to educate everyone. And I think that anyone that's upset about this, if you're feeling extremely emotional about these technological developments, I would just encourage you to spend some time reading about it. If you can get your hands on it, try them out. You'll probably feel a lot less worked up when you realize, like, hey, there's no way this is actually going to replace my job, at least not anytime soon. And what that means is you have time to get your workflow and get the value that you bring to the table as an artist positioned in the new ecosystem that we're all going to be living in. I think that it's really important to take away from this that, you know, I've seen a ton of AI generated art and things that are derived from the art, and I would say a very, very, very small percent, like 1% of what I've seen is actually good enough to compete with most extremely talented artists. And to add to that, that 1% that I'm qualifying it is for people that didn't already have some of that artistic talent in other ways, right? So they're not just using AI to replace something that they never took the time to learn themselves. Most of the people that are doing really cool AI art and animations and stuff like that are also people that have discipline in other arts as well. Myself, I'm a visual illustrator, I'm a musician, I'm a video editor. So I have disciplines in lots of different art, and I'm just adding AI art generating tools into my toolbox. And again, most of the things that I've done with it are not in any way viable. So I think, again, we're getting really worked up about a lot of stuff, and we should really be taking that energy, investing it into learning about these tools, pressuring the companies that are behind them to do the right thing, to be transparent about how these things have been made, and then working through those details, because again, it's not going away. Before we wrap it up for today, I always like to do a use case, and today we're going to be playing with ChatGPT a little bit more, but this time with a bot that lets you use it in Discord. All right, so for today's use case, something that came through my Facebook feed was someone using a bot on Discord to input, you know, text and then images to ChatGPT to interpret memes or just funny situations to see if it could explain the comedy behind it. And I was actually pretty impressed to see that it did a pretty good job. I had to try this myself, so it took all of 2 minutes to land on a YouTube video that explained to me that you can integrate ChatGPT with a bot from Turing AI. It's very simple. You just invite the bot to your server. Bot is able to use APIs for ChatGPT as well as Stable Diffusion and some other AI tools. Essentially, you just have a prompt where you type /chat and then you input your message. You can choose the model of the ChatGPT that you're using, and then if you want to, you can even add an image. And this is where we started to have fun asking it to explain some memes and the humor behind it. Pretty fun tool, but I will say that I think the value of this bot is that I am a pro subscriber to ChatGPT, but I don't have access to the multimodal features of GPT-4, and I couldn't even really figure out using ChatGPT how to input images at all until I stumbled upon this bot. So if this is something that you're interested in, if you're trying to input more things than just text to ChatGPT, for instance, some of the examples we've seen is people taking a picture of their fridge and saying, oh, you know, what can I make for dinner out of these ingredients? If that's something that you're trying to do, this is actually the first time I've been able to play around with GPT this way. So search for GPT bot by Turing. We'll have the link in the show notes for you as well, which will make it a lot easier to add it to your Discord. Once you've got it set up, please be aware they do have a premium model. So they're of course gonna try to upsell you to some stuff, but even with the free version, you can use most of its functionality with a cooldown. I think it only lets you input things every other minute or so, but try it out. Let me know what you think. All right. Well, before we sign off, I'd love to point you to some other shows we'll be releasing on the MSP Media Network soon. Coming next week on Friday, April 7th, another episode of 38 at 38 with Aaron Bolton. Tomorrow, we have the Tech Bar Podcast episode 55 with Marvin B. of Uncle Marv's IT Business Podcast. on Tuesdays and Fridays, the MSP Dispatch, presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hi, I'm Ray Rossini.
And I'm Tony Francisco, and we're the hosts of MSP Dispatch.
Every Tuesday and Friday, we'll bring you the news, community events, and discussions that are important to MSPs today. Whenever possible, we'll also include industry experts to provide their insight, and all within 30 minutes.
Available on YouTube, Pocket Casts, Spotify, iTunes, and your favorite podcatcher in audio or video form. We're everywhere you want us to be.
We hope to see you next time on MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel.
And that's our AI roundup for today. Be sure to join the MSP Media Network Discord. The link is in the show notes, or check the screen for the QR code. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. If you have any questions, you can email us at news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail at 833-MSP-NETWORK. Until next time, I'm Phil Buck, and this has been your semi-froggy March 29th episode of AI Roundup. We'll see you next time.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.